Let me start off by saying, welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, let me tell you that everyone here is happy and tickled pink that you've decided to worship here with us this morning. So those of you who are visiting, I want you to know that our doors swing on welcome hinges and you're always, always welcome to worship here with us at the South Fayette Church of Christ. It's only one thing that I will ask you to do for me, and that's to stick around just for a little bit so that we can get to know a little bit more about you and you can get to know a little bit more about us. You've probably heard your mother or grandmother use the old adage, feed a cold, starve a fever. Or perhaps it was starve a cold, feed a fever. Whichever the case is, we remember those days where we were neck high in the covers, stuffed, runny nose, sneezing, coughing, feeling awful and miserable. Well, I want to ask you a question. What if we were to apply that same philosophy that mother and grandmother applied to us when we were sick to our spiritual walk? You know, as believers, we have adopted an attitude that encourages us to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. Starve the flesh and feed the spirit. Now, think about it. Honestly, what happens when you starve something? Well, it dies, right? Plain and simple. We know that every living thing needs nourishment. And if it doesn't get it, it cannot survive. It will not live. It will eventually die. It's no different in our spiritual walk. No different in our spiritual walk. So for a little while this morning, I would like to speak on the subject matter, starving to live. Starving to live. Now you might ask, how can I starve and still live? Right. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, what I'm saying is I'm not speaking of a literal death of your flesh. That is not what I'm talking about this morning. But what I am talking about is putting to death our fleshly desires. It involves killing off all of the things, every single thing that moves us further away from the things of God and closer to this world. It's the process of what we call denying the flesh. Our flesh, the things that it craves, right? The things that it wants, the things that it desires, the very things that are contrary to the will and the word of God. So what is meant then by the term the flesh? Well, perhaps most plainly, it refers to the part of us that is alienated from God. It is the part of us that's alienated from God. It is the rebelliousness, the unruliness, the abstinent part of our inner self that is operative all of the time. That's what I'm talking about this morning. It's the part of us that does not want to be told what to do. It's the part of us that's stubborn. It's the part of us that refuses correction. It's the part of us that does that scoffs, right, at limits and rules. It's the part of us that hates to be under authority. It's the part of us that wants to do and have nothing to do with the things of God. It often is just the desire of something simply because it is forbidden. That's what I'm talking about this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, which was read this morning in our Bible reading. I would like to read verses 16 through 18 for you again this morning. That's Galatians chapter 5, looking at verses 16 through 18. And the infallible word of God reads, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." I want to emphasize the you that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul says to us that we ought to walk by the Spirit. And I need just to understand that this is a present tense command. It means to continue to walk by the Spirit. It is present tense. He didn't say when you feel like walking by the Spirit that you once walked by the Spirit. He says to walk by the Spirit. The Christian walk is not something we pick up and put down. It is a daily, and I mean a daily routine. You don't pick it up, put it down. It's not one of those things. Well, it's convenient for me today to live by the Spirit. It's convenient for me today to do the things of God. Well, today I want to live by the flesh, but that's today on Saturday. But on Sunday, I want to walk by the Spirit. It is a daily routine. It is not something you come to at a point in your life and say, from now on, I commit myself to walking in the Spirit. It is not a once for all event. It is a decision that you make and you stick with it all the way through. Through the ups, through the downs, through the obstacles, when your back is against the wall, all of those things, it is a daily routine. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, the word of God says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I want to be a son of anything, I want to be the son of God. I want to be one of his sons. For all who are led by the Spirit of God. We have to be led by the Spirit. Now, you may not have thought about it this way, but every time we see, we hear, or do something that is outside the will of God, guess what it's feeding? The flesh. It is not feeding the Spirit. It is feeding the flesh. Each time we sin by giving in to our fleshly desires, each time that we give in to that carnal man, we make that carnal man that much stronger than he was before, which in turn weakens your walk with God. If you want to weaken your walk with God, if you want to be disconnected with God, if you want to draw a wedge between you and your heavenly Father, all you have to do is live by the flesh. Unfortunately, many of us allow our flesh to rule our lives, not the word of God, not the will of God. Not God's commandments, not the love of God, but the love of the flesh. We are allowing that to rule our lives. And although, let me tell you something, a lot of people say, well, I've given my heart to God. I've given him my heart. And that's great. That is a start. But there are some other things that you got to give up. There's some other things that you got to turn over to God besides just your heart. See, some of us haven't given him our eyes. Some of us haven't given him our ears. Some of us haven't given him our mind. Yeah, you may come to service and yeah, you may read your Bible every now and then and you may pray over a meal or two, but have you given him all of you? We still look at things we ought not be looking at. We still listen to things we shouldn't be listening to. We still think about things of this world. We have to give him our whole heart. And that's a part of your mind, your body, and your spirit. Your eyes, your ears, your mind, your actions, your thoughts, all of that belongs to him when you're walking in the Spirit. We allow too much of the natural world to get inside of us, right? And instead of the word penetrating that heart, we let the world get inside. We start writing the things of the world on the tablet of our hearts. We start mimicking what the world says. We start doing what the world thinks is okay. Then we start accepting it. Then we start making excuses for it. And then after a while, you will find yourself living, looking, and acting, and talking, and listening like the world. When we allow too much of it to get inside of us, the flesh is bombarded with Paul calls the acts of sinful nature. That's found in Galatians chapter 5, if you go to verse 19 through 21. And let me tell you what this list looks like. It says sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. You got jealousy. You got fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions of and envy, drunkenness, orgies, And the list goes on. But when you think about it, it's a terrible list. Right? It's not a list of things that you just want to mark off and say, well, I did all these things today. Well, I did a little debauchery today. I caused some dissension today. Right? It's not like you go around doing that, but it's a terrible list. And most of us are probably thinking this one thing. As I read that list, some of us was probably saying, you know, I haven't done any sexual immorality. I don't deal with that. I don't have any hatred in my heart. I'm not a jealous person, right? I don't have fits of rage. I'm not a person who is drunk. I don't get involved in orgies. And that maybe not be the case right now. But let me tell you something. The moment you allow yourself to feed the flesh, it won't take but a little time before these things that I'm talking about will be some of the things that you practice, will be some of the things that you become, will be some of the things that you cause other people to go through because you allow flesh to do the thing that it does, and that's to cause a wedge between you and your Heavenly Father. Listen, each time we allow ourselves to linger on a certain channel that we shouldn't be watching, you know, the ones with the provocative scenes, or partake in a movie that has sexually suggestive themes, yeah, or listening to inappropriate music, you know, or being a part of the things we ought not be a part of and functions, guess what you're doing? You are feeding the flesh. We are giving it what it wants. That's what the flesh wants. That's what it wants. It wants anything that is pleasurable and contrary to the will of God. That's what the flesh wants. Pleasurable and contrary to the will of God. Listen, every person here under the sound of my voice who has the ability to understand this knows that it is difficult to resist temptation. We all know that. I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know, hey, you know, I'm the most perfect person because I stand in this pulpit. I don't struggle with anything because I stand in this pulpit. That would be a lie. We all struggle with something. But the answer is to feed your mind, your body, and your soul with the Word of God. Listen, you ever had that conversation with yourself? And I really want you to think about this. Have you ever had that conversation, especially me, and I'm talking to you too, because I know you've been there, where you have a conversation with yourself in the mirror, in the car, and you say to yourself, well, you know, Chris, that right there is really stupid. You shouldn't do that. And then yourself agrees with the fact that what you're about to do or considering is stupid. And then you go out and do the very thing that you've already agreed with yourself that was stupid, and you do it anyway. Been there, done that. Been there, done that many times. And the more I did it, the easier it became to not have that back and forth conversation with myself. It became that much easier to say, you know what? Well, I've come this far, so I might as well do it. And then when you finish doing it, there is nothing like the feeling that you have of disappointment with yourself. Oh, what did I do that for? Oh, that was stupid. But you had a conversation with yourself about it. You had already told yourself. You know what that is? That's the spirit battling with the flesh. It is literally telling you what you're about to embark on, what you're about to do. This decision that you're about to make is a crazy one, and it will come with consequences. And you do it anyway. We'll all sympathize with that. Paul does as well. Guess what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27? This is why I'm talking about it. He says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. Let me tell you something. Living a life characterized by obedience is not easy, saints, but it ain't impossible. Especially with the Word of God. When it's all said and done, that's where you got to get back to. When it's all said and done, when you feel disconnected, you got to get in the Word. When you feel disconnected, you got to get on your knees and you got to pray. If we adopt the attitude that my body will be a slave to righteousness, we will start really starving our fleshly desires. The moment you say that I no longer want to be a slave to sin or to the flesh, I'm willing to be a slave to righteousness, then that flesh will begin to starve. And the moment that it begins to starve, the more you start studying God's word, the more you start starving the flesh, the more you spend time in prayer, talking to your heavenly Father and seeking his counsel. See, that's one thing that we don't do often. We seek the counsel of everyone else but God. Mama, what you think about this? Daddy, what you think about this? Call your friend, a best friend. Hey, homie, hey, what you think about this? What you think I ought to do? And you know the person you call? Especially when it comes to the flesh, especially my young people, you call the person that you probably know that's going to agree with you. Hey, man, what you think about this? Oh, man, go on, do that. It's all good. It's cool. Go ahead. But when did you call the elder and say, hey, I'm dealing with this? When did you call the preacher and say, hey, I'm dealing with this? What about that brother and sister that you know is faithful, that's not going to allow you to do anything stupid? We don't call them. You know why? Because we know exactly what they're going to tell us. And you know why we don't do the things that we need to do going to the word? Because it's going to tell us exactly what we know we shouldn't be doing. That's why it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. The more you desire God's word, the closer you get to him. If you want to be closer to God, desire his word. You want to be closer to God, pray more. You want to be closer to God, surround yourself with the things of God. Jesus said the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. This is in John chapter 6 and verse 63. It says, it is the spirit who gives life. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. It is the spirit who gives life. But we're feeding the flesh that gives you no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you that are in the B-I-B-L-E is spirit and life. And yet you go after the flesh. These things we ought to be thinking on. Make no mistake. If you don't know now, you'll never know that if you feed the flesh, the more it's going to demand. If you think that you can go do that thing that you shouldn't do just one time, you're fooling yourself. You know how many times I told myself, oh, I'm just going to be this one time. This is going to be this one time. I'm never going to do it again. How many of us have done that? It's just going to be this one time, I promise. And then you start lying to yourself. And you start lying to God. And you start making all these promises that you won't plan on keeping, because you already know once you do that thing you love to do, you'll do it again. This is why we see division in the religious world today. That's why we see division in the household of faith. This is why disobedience and rebellion runs rampant, and sinful behavior runs rampant in the church today, the prideful attitudes in the church today, and it is more dangerous than it has ever been, because we're feeding more into the flesh and less into the spirit. We see that today, that the church is doing more about what the people want than what God wants. And then you know what really sets in and kills it? Pride. Because when you're faced with it, when you got that brother or sister that ain't afraid to tell you you're wrong according to righteous judgment, that pride gets in the way. And once that pride gets in the way, it's almost impossible for you to be led to repentance. That's why it's so hard. You wonder why it's so hard? Because the flesh and pride. In Romans chapter 8, looking at verses 5 through 8, the infallible word of God says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. Verse 6 gives you the answer. It says, for to set the mind on fleshly things will lead to death, separation from God, and ultimately being separated from him eternally. But to set the mind on the spirit is life in peace. I don't know about you, but I like life. And I like a whole lot of peace. But the life I'm talking about is the eternal life. The life that you should be wanting is the eternal life. And you ought to have peace while you're here, knowing that you seek after the spiritual things than the fleshly things. That's the mindset we ought to have. But for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. There's your answer again. Not only are you not going to have life and be separated from God, you're being hostile towards him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the last thing I want to do. You want to pick a fight with somebody? Please don't pick one with God. Why set yourself up for failure when you already know that you're going to lose? You already know what sin does. You already know how that thing operates. And yet we do it because it says, for it does not submit to God's law. So if you're in the flesh, you ain't worried about what God is talking about. That's not a concern of yours at all. And indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're in the business of pleasing God, then you can't please the flesh. You want to please God? You can't please the flesh. You want to grow closer to God? You got to start putting into the spirit. The flesh is hostile to God because it hates anyone. I want you to think about this. It hates anyone that's more important than itself. Think about that. Think about how many people you lied to, that you stepped over, that you went around to please the flesh. Think about it. Think about all the... You ever been at a point in your life where you was trying to do something you had no business doing and the amount of lies you had to tell just to get to that one thing that you are not supposed to be doing? Okay, well, y'all look like y'all don't know. What about y'all? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Because I've been there. I've done that. The flesh doesn't like being told what to do. It doesn't. It want to do what it want to do when it has that feeling, that urge, whatever you call it, whatever you get. Hence, it despises the authority of God. I don't even want to talk about anybody else's story. I'm talking about the authority of God. It despises the authority of God. It cannot please God because it doesn't want to. You have to make sure and train your mind and your body through the Spirit, through the Word of God, and through prayer. Listen, the portrait of flesh is an ugly thing. If we painted a picture of fleshly desires, I can't see it being like the Mona Lisa or some renowned painting that you could think of. It is an ugly portrait when we're talking about the flesh. If you want to know what the flesh is up to, I've said it before and I say it again. All you have to do is look around. Turn on the television, watch a show, watch the news. Matter of fact, you can go to your local elementary school, middle school, high school, and you can see the condition of the world. And it's in a bad state. And it's because of the flesh. Now listen, I'm hoping that this lesson, it's not to pinpoint whatever you're struggling with and say that you're a bad person and all of this. It is simply for us to look inward. And if it ain't together, it ain't together, and just get it together. It's that simple. Get it together. The way you get up and do everything else that you desire to do in the flesh, have that same tenacity and desire to serve God in the Spirit. God can put the flesh to death. He can put it to death. You want some help? You got to go to God. You got to trust him at his every word. That's, I think, where the disconnect comes in. Well, we don't trust God in his every word. I spoke about Peter. All Peter had to do was trust God. But he had in his mind that Jesus needed some help. Out of all the miracles he's seen him do, all the power that Christ had, Peter felt like, I got to do something about this. Instead of trusting what he said. We have to start trusting what he says. Listen, God can put the flesh to death in us and bring alive the spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. But first, there's three things we got to do. The first one is appreciate what the flesh is and understand how it moves, first and foremost. Secondly, bring this understanding to God through repentance. And the last thing is stop feeding the flesh and start feeding the spirit. And the fourth thing is repeat the steps 1 through 3. Amen. God will cause the flesh to die. His grace is at work in us through Christ. You got to understand the beautiful thing. And like I said, this lesson is no way to emphasize our weaknesses or minimalize the power that you truly have in you. Everyone in here with God has already won. When you choose him and you live for him, you already won. I don't know why y'all are scared of the devil. You give him too much credit and too much power. And we limit God. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, it says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Case in point. Some of us are making those New Year's resolutions. All I can tell you is step away from the table. Push it back. But we're all going to make those resolutions. We're going to all say what we're going to do. And it's funny. At the first of the year, man, everybody's on fire. I hurt myself at the gym later, but I used to go to the gym. And at the first of the year, you can't find a machine to get on. Everybody's in there. Right? First of the year, they working hard, they pumping and pushing it. You know, they got the Jane Fonda outfits on. That's old, but they ready to go, right? And then grandma or grandpa or somebody gets something together and cakes and pies and cookies and all the stuff you said you wasn't going to do. You get a whiff of it, just a whiff. And you remember that feeling you got when your taste buds were tantalized by all the spices and all the sweet flavors that grandma put and mama put in the pot. That's what the flesh does. That's how sin is. Once you get a taste of it, oh, it'll still linger around. And you'll get the smells of it. And you'll be reminded of how good it felt, right? That warm and bubbly feeling you get when you eat that warm meal is the same way the flesh does. It's weak. It is truly weak, and we have to be powerful enough to overcome it. Listen, every conversation, every chance and interaction with another person is an opportunity to feed the flesh. I want you to think about that. Every person you talk to, every cute girl you meet, I'm talking to you young fellas over there, to the ladies, every handsome guy. I know y'all like the Jonas Brothers. Don't act like y'all. I know who the Jonas Brothers are. I know. Every cute guy that comes around, it is an opportunity for you to feed the flesh. We sometimes eat up lust. We sometimes eat up anger, right? We sometimes eat up gossip and eat up jealousy. And all we're doing is feeding the flesh. Let me tell you, if we start feeding the spirit more than we feed the flesh, it wouldn't be an empty spot in this place. Half of the people that aren't here are feeding the flesh by sleeping in. And they know they ought to be here. Marriages would be stronger. They would respect the institution of marriage like they're supposed to if we were feeding the spirit and not the flesh. You know what? I truly believe if we were truly feeding the spirit, divorce would be a thing of the past. It wouldn't even be an option. Because as the last time I looked, God hates divorce. God hates dissension and jealousy and gossip. And yet we eat it up all the time. And each time you feed that flesh, the stronger it gets and the harder it is to control. What we feed, saints, will grow. You want to have some struggles? Keep feeding the flesh. You want to be separated from God? Keep feeding the flesh. But if you want to grow closer to God, you got to start feeding the Spirit. There's a poem. I can't kind of remember who wrote it, but it says, two natures beat within my breast. One is foul, one is blessed. One I love, one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. The one you feed will dominate. I told you, what you spend most of your time doing, you become. What you focus on the most, you become. So if that is true, why aren't we feeding the Spirit? Before I close, I want to say this. The flesh wants to be in control rather to trust in God. And I want you to hear how the flesh operates. It sets up its own observance under its own control. And when it has met its demands, it declares it as righteousness. Think about it. I'm saying something here. See, if it sets up its own observance, that's why there's separation in the church. If it's under its own control, that's why we don't have men and women in here like we're supposed to serving God. And when it has met its own demands, it declares whatever it's decided to do as righteousness. That's why the church is in the condition as which it is now, because of the flesh. Know this. When you learn to feed the Spirit and starve the flesh, you will realize God's power to counsel your past. You will realize God's power to conquer your presence and God's power to change your future. If you're here this morning and you've been feeding the wrong nature, meaning the flesh instead of the Spirit, it's time to change and allow God to dominate. This is the time for you to say to yourself, flesh, no more. God is moving in and you moving out. The foul nature can only lead to death. That's it. If you serve in the flesh, the end result is death. But if you feed the Spirit, and that is your everyday routine, it leads to life and peace. You know, there's a song that I like, that I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Are you somewhere listening for your name? I think it says, when my heart is right, I will answer, right? And if when he calls, I will hear, right? Because I'll be somewhere listening for my name. We need to be somewhere listening to God's word so that when he does call, he will say, job well done, thy good and faithful servant. So if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, this is your chance to give God your whole heart and to live for him because he died for you. And if you are a Christian and you've been struggling with the flesh, if you need the prayers of the church, if you sin publicly, whatever your need is, make it known. Don't be worried about what no one else thinks but God. And if your heart is right, and you're ready to give your life to Christ, or you're ready to change your life for the better, please come now as together we stand and sing.